Welcome back to the Lord's house as we are privileged to return to worship after our absence from one another last Sunday morning. We appreciate your willingness to please sign the registration pad, if you will, and pass that on to your neighbor. Through various means, we shared with you that the weather was the reason why we canceled services last Sunday. But there's also another significant reason, and that was simply that we had no running water throughout the building. Not only then, but that was an issue that took 6 days to finally resolve. And I am truly grateful to Ron Wolf and to Steve and Danny Harrison, not only for them bird-dogging the process that it took to get through all of the bureaucracy to get our water turned back on, but also for helping us get our walkways and the parking lot cleared, because the gentleman who's supposed to do that for us went on vacation. Nothing like that little scenario of having a snow clearing company and yet going on vacation in the wintertime. But anyway, we're delighted we're all back. Thank you so much. In the bulletin flyer, please make note of the meetings taking place this week, the restart of game day as well on the second Friday of each month, and of course the next fellowship lunch, which will be on Sunday the 4th of February. The 2023 giving statements are in the box in are on the oak table there in the foyer. Please pick yours up, if you will, because then that will save us the need to mail that to you and save the cost of postage. And men, please join us for the January Men of Faith Fellowship and Supper. That'll be this Thursday at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Please indicate your interest in attending by filling out that form and simply putting that in the offering plate, so we'll know how many people to prepare for Thursday night. I think these are all the announcements we need to lift up, and so I call upon Ryan to lead us in our call to worship, please. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. We will proclaim your greatness, our God and King.
We will thank you forever and ever.
Every day we will thank you.
We will praise you forever and ever.
The Lord is great and is to be highly praised.
His greatness is beyond understanding.
We'll now sing hymn number 2, stanzas 1 and 4 of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive our fear and doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Mortals, join the happy chorus, stars of morning, take your part. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding those of tender. In the midst of strife, joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
May we pray. Merciful God, even as the cold winter weather may still feel piercing in the outside air, may each of us experience the warmth of your Holy Spirit's great comfort as we assemble in your house to offer you worship and praise this Lord's Day morning. For the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort." This we pray with rejoicing in our hearts, in Christ's name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
May we take a moment to greet our neighbors, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Do I sound normal? Apparently I sounded like a chipmunk earlier, so. Anyway, well, here she comes. It has been really, really cold, hasn't it? Yeah. No, still.
Yeah.
As we go to God in prayer this week, please remember Bob and Betty Maddox. Bob continues to be in intensive care at St. Luke's on the Plaza, still recovering from the heart surgery that he had, which was rather extensive this past week. We also lift up Ted Ferris. He is at North Kansas City Hospital, recovering from an aortic artery repair. Just a little bit of a complication he's got to work through, and he hopefully will be going home soon. We keep Don and Diana Stone in prayer as Don is making very good progress with his recovery from all of the heart issues that were repaired for him. We also are grateful that Ruth Ann Solomon was able to be here at the first service this morning, healing well. We continue to keep Alan Pipps in our prayers, Carolyn, in the midst of his heart concerns. And Brady, we're so delighted you're making good progress and back to kind of walking on your own, right, with no cast or anything right now. So hope all progresses well for you, Brady. And keep Edna Williams in your prayers. And we also keep Ed and Shirley Keel in our prayers, hoping that Ed will be able to return back to worship with us soon. And of course, Jerry, we always keep you and Betty in our prayers every week for sure. I think these are the main folks in our midst we need to lift up in prayer, so may we bow our heads this morning. Loving and gracious God, great is our privilege to assemble in the comfort of your house this Sunday morning. For in your house, we are bolstered by the fellowship of saints who encourage us and remind us of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we meditate on the concerns of many, we pray, O God, for those worldwide who endure ongoing loss, suffering, and hardship in wars as they prevail in many parts of the earth. We pray for the many who endure the hardships of homelessness and economic hardship in our community and beyond. We pray for the families in our community and throughout the nation who endure grave suffering at the violent hand of others. We pray for those who endure unrelenting pain and illness and those who endure the loss of loved ones. We pray for those who endure the bitter cold of winter and those who endure the unrelenting drought and heat of summer. Whatever it may be that needs to be endured in one's personal life, in one's community, nation, or throughout the world, may we recognize, O God, that we can be drawn ever closer to your presence, even through endurance. As the Apostle Paul endured much suffering in his quest to share the gospel, may we be encouraged by his words, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, to even rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. For the everlasting hope that we have in Christ, we give you thanks, O God, as we offer this prayer, and as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Any of us driving around Kansas City the last couple of weeks realize that it has been somewhat difficult to stay between the lines. When the streets were snow-covered, the tracks in the pavement before our vehicles didn't necessarily keep within the lines. The tracks simply depended upon wherever the snowplow had run or wherever others before us had traveled. After the snowfall and without any rinsing rainfall in the last several days, roads have been covered in a white haze of ice melt chemicals, making it equally difficult to distinguish line markers. Also in parking lots and parking garages alike, people have been parking wherever, right? For many, the lines have been equally indistinguishable. Yes, staying between the lines for everyone's safety and convenience can prove difficult. Yet in matters of our spiritual welfare, and as we gather around the Lord's table this Sunday morning, may we find comfort. For our Lord Jesus always keeps us between the lines of God's great grace and love, no matter how and why we may find ourselves steering away. There is never any question, never any doubt about our salvation. As we profess our allegiance to God's great grace in Christ, our Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We celebrate the assurance of our salvation in Christ as we turn to our communion hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, and sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn number 197.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding. Sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to your table this morning thankful and blessed because we know that you love us. We know that you love us because you sent your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross. And as we take these emblems this morning, may we be reminded of that great love and our salvation forever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 tells us, "Do not forget to do good and to help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God." With these thoughts in mind, we offer our tithes and offerings as Lana first leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on this beautiful winter morning, and we thank you for the seasons and what they reveal to each of us through the years. We thank you for this day and for this church and for this congregation, the loving, giving congregation that it is. We ask that as we take up these gifts and offerings that they will be used to further your kingdom in the hearts of those who are without. And we ask that you bless the gifts as well as the givers. In his name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Want to mention that I realize that some folks have had difficulty receiving text messages that I've been sending, and I have been having difficulty receiving text messages that others have been sending me. So if you want to get a hold of me or need for me to know something, just give me a call on the phone, you know, the old-fashioned way. The phone still seems to work. We'll muddle through the texting issue once my son gets settled here in the Kansas City area and is able to look at my phone and tell me what's wrong. But by the way, keep Jonathan and Natalie and the children in your prayers. They are supposed to close on their home, the sale of their home in Rogers, Minnesota, on Wednesday, and pack up that final U-Haul trailer and make their way down here. And they're unfortunately not able to close on the Platte City house because the loan company hasn't got their job done yet. But so they're going to rent the house from the current officer who owns it. But rent it until they get the paperwork done, and we're really excited about them coming. So keep them in your prayers as they'll be making their journey here to Kansas City metro area. This message this morning will not be an in-depth explanation of some scripture like I normally try to share with you. Rather, it's actually an observation of human behavior and how that behavior affects one's faith in God. So I hope it'll be a little bit of a different twist this morning for you, and maybe a little bit more lighthearted. I share with you from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. For you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And of course, the word perfect here in the text does not mean perfect as in getting everything right. It simply means the perfection here is to be God-like. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as Christ our Lord, remain steadfast to your plan of salvation for the benefit of our souls. May we also remain ever so steadfast in our faithfulness to you, that we may bring glory to your name. For it is in Christ's name that we offer this prayer. Amen. As I have traversed along the stretch of Berry Road between my residence and Berry Christian Church now for nearly 9 years, much has been rather familiar. But a new and developing phenomena began in the closing months of the pandemic. It is the ongoing succession of long, very long lines of cars. It began when the Hawaiian Brothers restaurant to our east was opening. You may recall that there were no dining indoors at the time. Only food passed through people's open car windows. But the ongoing succession of a long, very long line of cars was for me a sight to behold. And myself, as one who would pass back and forth across Berry in front of that restaurant through the course of several hours while undertaking many errands, I was amazed at how long, very long, some folks were willing to sit in their cars and burn gasoline just for the opportunity to receive what would amount to a styrofoam container of lukewarm, whatever it is that Hawaiian Brothers was offering by the time they arrived home. How worth the food was, worth waiting for, I can't say, because even to this day, I still haven't stopped in, even though the Hawaiian Brothers no longer have a very long line of cars. A span of weeks later, it happened again. Once again, along the same northern side of Berry Road, in this redevelopment of what was once the Metro North Mall, another ongoing succession of a long, very long line of cars. Except this time, it wasn't just one line, but two long, very long lines of cars. Two lines of cars filled with eager occupants willing to sit for periods of time that I knew extended for an hour or more. I know, because I once again would pass by and see the same familiar cars I had seen several minutes earlier, now only a few car lengths ahead of where they were once positioned. Yet this time, I was a bit wiser concerning the fare now being passed out the takeout window into the welcoming arms extended out the open car windows. For having grown up in South Texas, I am a lifelong veteran of this chain of burgers, which once sported A-frame buildings painted in orange and white stripes. And this time, I knew all too well that the orange and white clad bags of burgers and fries, certainly, although tasty if one likes salt, were not worth the lengthy time nor the amount of gas burned while one sits in one of those long very long lines of cars. In fact, as I passed these long, very long lines of cars for weeks, yes, for weeks on end, I was only prompted to see if I could remember the Whataburger jingle that was sung across the television and radio stations of my youth. But I was never compelled to join in the fray of one very long line of cars or the other. For I knew all too well that I'd be waiting a very long time to simply bite into the same old Whataburger of decades ago. More than a year or so has passed, and the ongoing succession of long, very long lines of cars at Hawaiian Brothers and Whataburger are now a distant memory. That was until a few weeks ago. The tiny, blue-trimmed brick building on the northern side of Berry Road, which had been under construction through much of the summer and the fall season, has now opened. And this time, Dutch Brothers Coffee joins the fray of development that is now billed as Metro North Crossing. And what should appear before my wandering eyes while I should be looking at the westward stretch of Berry Road in front of my pickup? Ah, yes, an ongoing succession of long, very long lines of cars. Two such lanes, just like Whataburger. For here there are indeed two, yes, two lanes in which to participate in the exciting fair offered at the one and only Dutch Brothers Coffee drive-thru in the Northland. I hope you're having fun with this, because I had fun writing it. Again, for weeks, yes, weeks, I have watched the ever successive long, very long lines of eager patrons patiently waiting very long minutes while burning untold gallons of fuel, waiting for whatever uniqueness that Dutch Brothers has to offer in the way of coffee in a foam cup covered in a plastic lid, as opposed to the ever so familiar and innumerable selections of coffee offered at our very near and certainly much quicker red and white clad Quick Trips scattered across the metro and beyond. Is it really worth sitting in one's car for so very long for this particular variety of coffee? So far, I don't know. And the two dear young souls, clad in their wintry outfits, standing there in well below freezing temperatures in recent days, taking orders so the two long, very long lines can now appear to be speeding up. Oh, how I wish someone would help them find indoor jobs. We have all heard it. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 in the New Testament. John's Gospel in John chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that a large crowd followed Jesus because they had seen his miracles of healing the sick. Matthew's account in Matthew 14, verse 14, tells us when Jesus saw the very large crowd of people who had sought him out, his heart was filled with empathy for them, and he healed their sick. Mark's account in Mark 6, verse 34, tells us that Jesus proceeded to teach them many things, for he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. All of the gospel accounts tell us that as the day grew ever so longer and as the sun was beginning to set, surely no one had eaten. The disciples came to Jesus and encouraged Jesus to send the people away so they could go to the villages and farms nearby and find food and lodging. Jesus, however, said to his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 12, "You yourselves give them something to eat." John 6, verse 8 tells us that the apostle Andrew brings to Jesus the boy who possesses a simple meal, two dried fish, and five hard barley loaves. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Jesus encourages all the people to sit down, and then he offers a prayer of thanks before God, and then prompts the 12 disciples to distribute the abundance that is provided, not only for the 5,000 men, but also for the likely more than 10 to 15,000 women and children who would have been assembled as well. After this great miracle, Jesus departs by himself, and his disciples gather themselves in a boat to recross the Sea of Galilee. The nighttime events recount that Jesus walks on the water, and Peter attempts to walk on the water to Jesus. Yet the next day sees throngs of people from the day before assembling as a multitude as they had walked through the night all across the vast westwardly distance of the shoreline of Lake Galilee, so that they could once again experience Jesus and whatever they thought he could offer them. This great crowd of people looking for Jesus is the ancient biblical times equivalent to the modern day ongoing succession of long, very long lines of cars filled with eager occupants, waiting to receive and taste the latest, the greatest. My observation of the very long lines on Berry Road and the equivalent mass of people seeking Jesus has led me to believe that there is a singular human condition that compels people from all walks of life and from centuries apart from one another to willingly and eagerly stand around in ever-growing throngs, whether it be for a hamburger, a cup of coffee, a glimpse of a football player, or the listening of a new song from a pop culture icon. It's all summed up in one word: novelty. People are drawn to novelty. Waiting their turn in that ongoing succession of long, very long lines of cars, or in a stadium, or on an open plain beside the Sea of Galilee, it gives them the unique opportunity among their own peers to believe that they can be the first to experience, to taste, to know, and then to comment to their friends just what it's like to taste Hawaiian Brothers, a Whataburger, a Dutch Brothers coffee, or better yet, to see Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce, or even better, to see Travis with, yes, yes, Taylor Swift. Or even 2,000 years ago, to taste the bread and fish that Jesus, the traveling rabbi, created out of thin air. Jesus knew that next morning that the large crowd that had walked around the Sea of Galilee that night before was, for so many of them, simply there for the novelty, waiting to see or even taste Jesus' next big miracle, so they could be the first in their family, the first in their village to share the news. Yet Jesus offered no miracles that second day. No bread, no fish, no Hawaiian Brothers, no Whataburger, not even a simple cup of Dutch Brothers coffee. Not any novelty whatsoever. Instead, Jesus talked in the balance of John's sixth chapter about being the spiritual bread of life that could really offer the singular avenue of spiritual salvation. So that even as one travels through the average doldrums of everyday life and trods through the challenges of difficulties, such as lifelong pain, illness, tragedy, and even loss, one can indeed experience eternal hope instead of fleeting, novel pleasure. One will never need to walk the long shoreline of the Sea of Galilee or even sit in one's car in one of those ongoing successions of very long lines of cars to experience the greatest and most succinct joys of life. For true followers of Christ know with certainty that it is in the experience of a steadfast, ongoing, and living relationship with Jesus Christ that one finds genuine satisfaction and peace. No long line, no big crowd needed. As the sign outside has actually said for two frozen weeks, be steadfast. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So then, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and steady. Keep busy always in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. And I draw your attention back to that first text read this morning, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way, for you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be godlike and complete, lacking nothing. I hope you know Christ as the Lord and Savior who gives you great assurance and great joy. If you don't, I want to welcome you to come forward this morning and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. I want to welcome you to come forward if you've not become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's All Glory, Laud, and Honor. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please, of hymn number 192. May we stand.
All glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children
delighted that each of you were able to join us in worship this Sunday morning, and we wish you the very best as we hope to thaw out just a little bit here with this new week. May we pray. Lord God, for the privilege to assemble in your house and to lift up worship and praise to your holy name, we give thanks and we seek your Spirit's guidance as we depart and journey forward with the task of the new week. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Let us now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send us to our homes with God's love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us ever mindful.